All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, July 21st. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James
Davis, and we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. And we spent the first little bit just taking a look at season-long NFL draft just to get prepared for the MLB draft. Buddy, do you feel like football is breathing down, before we get to baseball, do you feel like football is right now breathing down your neck, or it's like so far from your brain space that you can't wrap your mind around it?
Well, it's breathing down my neck, caressing my neck, nibbling on my eardrum, Doug. Football is ready, and so am I.
No, that was not...
Was that weird? Should we redo it?
That was like a weird thing. Like, do you want to try that again? I'm not going to stop recording, but do you want to try to give like an actual response about how you feel about football?
Yeah, football is like breathing down my neck.
Okay, let's move on.
Touching the small of my back.
So we have... Thought we were going to get something there, but obviously not. This is why sometimes show prep is kind of like a... kind of worth it kind of thing, but we're not going to get there today. Today's for baseball, there's just a ton of great pitchers going. There's really kind of no other way to say it. There are about three ace level guys going, and then like, I don't know, three more tier below kind of guys like that, and we'll kind of try to break down the pluses and minuses on each of them. It's mostly, I think, going to just... almost like always revolve around price and opponent, but this day does seem like it does not seem to me like there's going to be a chalk pitcher. You know, you have like Bumgarner last night, like 70%, guys like that, or like other times when guys like Sale or even Scherzer pitch, you get them in that 70-80% range. Now you get a lot of these guys pitching together. Do you think that you're going to see some ownership spread out tonight, or do you think that some of the prices will just sort of force people into some of the arms we're going to talk about?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really spread out. Like, there's going to be people who have narratives around certain pitchers, and probably the top guy on our list is going to top the list of most people who say they're never going to play this guy again. But I think there's a lot of good pitchers spread across a reasonable salary range, and I think that's going to lead to a nice widespread in ownership for sure.
Yeah, I was trying to think of which order to go in here, and I think we'll just kind of we'll just go by who our system likes the most, and then we'll kind of double back onto some of the other guys. So the guy that's jumping up to our system, in the top of our system right now, not in overall points, but just based strictly on price, mostly because of the opponent here, is Samardzija. That's who you were talking about when you said like the never again stage people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so Samardzija is a tough guy to evaluate, and his ownership will be much lower than our system thinks it should be tonight for a couple different reasons, right? So the first is he's 4-11 on the season. That, from a win-loss perspective, is garbage. We personally do not take that into account at all, but it's something that will weigh on the minds of people. And when you look at the 4-11 one-loss record, you can begin thinking the guy stinks. When you combine that with a 4.86 ERA, then you really are going... It's going to be tough sledding and convincing, like, and I'm mostly talking about like our users and people in the chat and just people that are going to wonder, like, Samardzija spelled wrong, ? Like, it's going to be a lot of that. Or or someone references Shark, and then someone says, who's Shark? And it's going to be a lot of that in the chat tonight, I can imagine. So what's the case for him then? Because a 4-11, 4.86 ERA, I mean, that is... It is a tough sell. I mean, it's not a tough sell for me, but sell why our system kind of likes him above the others from a points per dollar perspective.
Sure. So yeah. So let's talk about the ERA first, because I think the ERA is where a lot of people's eyes are going to travel, and I think that's understandable. You know, 4.86 ERA is not ideal. A lot of people will look at the xFIP and say, well, hey, a lot of pitchers have a wide spread on their xFIP, and you know, maybe Samardzija, maybe he's not just unlucky, maybe he's just bad. So the first thing I would say, just in terms of strictly ERA, just to point out the variance that's possible there, is that this season, Samardzija's pitched 11 and a third innings at Coors Field, and he's given up 15 earned runs in that time. That is a lot of runs, and it's not unusual for pitchers who don't normally pitch in Coors but who travel there occasionally, the way Samardzija does. But obviously, you take away 11 and a third innings of 15 earned runs, and you just... And that's, by the way, something like 10% of his total innings pitched on the season, you get the picture of a guy who is just has a much better ERA, right? And so that almost instantly normalizes the xFIP to the ERA, and then you're just talking about a mid to low threes ERA guy, and so I think that kind of dismisses that concern. I will say the other concern that people are going to have, because I can recall playing him on July 16th against the Padres, where he went out and gave up 7 earned runs in 6 innings at San Diego. I think that is still going to ring. I think that's actually going to be the bigger thing that stands in the way here, because people are going to say, man, I bit the bullet and played Samardzija against San Diego. He was terrible. Never again. There's so many great options. Why would I play Samardzija tonight? And so the first thing I would like to say is you would play Samardzija tonight because he's 8,800 and arguably as good as the guys you're going to pay 3,000 more for. So I think that's a pretty compelling case. I think the case with Samardzija comes down to the fact that 10 Ks per nine and less than two walks per nine is a very, or almost one, exactly one walk per nine. That's a very unusual peripheral profile that just strikes itself at ace level. And I think some of the ways that he's run bad this season, you can just normalize against last season's performance. You can say, like, was last year's 285 BABIP that was very close to his career BABIP the normal one, or is it this year's 329 BABIP? Well, how about last year's 1.06 home runs per nine versus this year's 1.45 home runs per nine? The Samardzija strikes me as sort of like the reverse lottery winner of this season's stats, where he just has run bad in every conceivable category, like 65% left on base percentage. Every single category you can imagine, he's run bad in. And what he can actually control, he's doing remarkably well at. So I'm going to take that against effectively the league's worst offense against right-handed pitching. Padres lead in the league in strikeouts versus righties, bottom two in the league in terms of WOBA versus righties. And I'm gonna play him in every single format, in every single lineup. I know there's a lot of diversity, but I think it's such a great opportunity. I think all those other pitchers are just a red herring, and I think the value is so great on Samardzija that I will not play anyone else in any format tonight.
Whew, take a breath, buddy. You did it. That was bang. That was comprehensive. Yeah, no, that was it. I like that you
bang.
Bang is right. You summed up pretty much all of my thoughts as well, too. Like, you know, even if you look at, like, even if you even dive into, like, even more into the batted ball category, like, so you're like, okay, is the BABIP even running high because of hard contact rate? Its hard contact rate is actually down from last year, right? So it's, like, not even, like, people are smoking the ball all over the place. Because you can actually, like, so if you look at BABIP and say, oh, yeah, the BABIP's high, but people are just smoking balls all over the field against them, like, then it makes sense because it's going to be harder to field. That's just not even the case for him there. There's no really conceivable thing that I can see that is not just straight up horrible luck for this guy, right? And if you take that aside and you look at his peripherals, like you said, they're among the very best in the league. I will have no problem doing it. I can see why other people will have a problem. That's fine by me. It's going to create separation. It's one of those things that, you know, it's not a great feeling kind of rostering him in a lot of cash games when you look at some of the other names on this list that we're going to kind of get to here in a second. But now I'm with you. I think you summed it up perfectly, and I think that is going to be the case why at least our system is going to not be able to get away from Samardzija, and frankly I just kind of don't want it to. The other guys that we mentioned here, and there's a case to be made for them. So the next group, the very top group, I would say, is Sale and Scherzer. Now with Scherzer right now, there's no Vegas line because I don't think that Arizona has announced its starter yet. So I think that's the only thing that's waiting. I kind of put in a, just for like sort of a placeholder Vegas line, just to make sure he wasn't like for the time being the seventh highest like raw points pitcher. But I kind of set it at like -177.5. I could be wrong a little bit there. If you had to pick between Scherzer and Sale on this slate, you know, I get an understanding that we're making some guesses about what the Vegas kind of totals are going to be. Does one of those guys, like, would you prefer Sale or Scherzer in this spot? I'm putting them together because they're about the same price.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, Sale has been obviously the highest upside guy, generally speaking, in all of baseball this season. And the Angels have been very terrible against left-handed pitching. The only question mark I have with that exact matchup is the fact that the Angels don't strike out a ton. Now, with a guy like Sale's stuff, that kind of on some level goes out the window just because he's so insane when it comes to striking people out. I think I tend to err on the side of Sale being better than the Angels when it comes to getting the strikeouts. So I think Sale just has bigger upside generally. I do think Scherzer, if you're just talking big tournaments, I think Scherzer will be dramatically lower owned just because the Diamondbacks are such a worse matchup here. So I think that, yeah, it just kind of depends on your goals. I think if you're just trying to get the most total fantasy points, just give me Sale. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't take him against a bad Angels team versus Scherzer against a good Diamondbacks team, given that they're both, you know, I guess somewhat similar profile. But I do think if you're going for a big tournament, Sale will have dramatically higher ownership. And I think you can kind of get away with something by getting Scherzer here on a night where there's so many other options. And he's just another guy that has the potential to score the most total fantasy points on the night. So, yeah, I think that's kind of how I would sum it up.
Yeah, Sale's just been a tick better than Scherzer in Ks, a tick better in walks, a tick better in xFIP. They're damn close. I mean, like, you're really splitting hairs when you're trying to figure out the differences between these two guys because they're, you know, two of the top three probably pitchers in all of baseball this season. But, I probably would err just a hair on the side of Sale. That being said, if that line were to come in dramatically different than what I've kind of set it to, I really don't think it's going to, but if it was going to come in, like, somewhere way different, then I guess maybe it gets a little closer, but I think I'm with you. The other guy that's a tier below, though I would say arguably as good as these guys, is Alex Wood. Wood has been a guy we've talked about this year in terms of just like has struggled at times to go late in games, mostly because of the Dodgers' philosophy about just kind of pulling pitchers a little bit early. Do you see him as, so from a price perspective, okay, on FanDuel, Sale is 11.8, Scherzer is 11.6, Wood is 10.2 against Atlanta in LA, which definitely helps because that definitely helps just getting Atlanta out of Atlanta here. Do you see him as like a points per dollar, considering the price discount you get, points per dollar just like better than those two guys? Just better than those two guys, just for considering what you get in savings.
Yeah, I think I do, but he almost feels like the worst of all worlds to me. And that might be a little bit harsh, but it's like it's hard to imagine he'll have the same upside as Sale or Scherzer just because he can't go nine innings, and both Sale and Scherzer can. And it's hard to imagine, like, and if I'm going to go value, I'll just go Samardzija, who's a very similar pitcher for $1,400 less with a better matchup. So Wood strikes me as just very weird middle ground where the only way I can imagine playing him would be, you know, again, to get separation. But I honestly don't believe in my heart, and the last time I said this, I was wrong. I just have so much trouble picturing him being the best overall value on the night. And if he's not going to be the best overall value, I don't want any part of it. So I like Wood. This is a great spot for Wood. There are many nights where I would be happy to play Wood. But I think in general, he's more of a cash game pitcher. And I think tonight there are just better cash game options.
Yeah, he's got a huge money line. I think he's got by far the biggest money line of the day. He's -280. No one else is even close to that. So he gets the win expectation kind of just through the roof as compared to some of these other guys.
Atlanta, right, which is great for cash games, right? Like when we're talking about cash versus GPP, one of the things I think we talked to Chatters about, and this is going to be a good learning moment here, is that the cash line, it's awesome to take a really hard look at that for your cash game purposes because it's like a little mnemonic device to cash game for cash lines. Because when sorry, I distracted myself with my terrible pun. but right, when you're looking at that, the security of getting the win really adds up. It means a lot in terms of your overall expectation on FanDuel in particular. But if you're going for a big tournament, any pitcher in the major leagues can get a win on any given night. So you just can almost throw that out and just try to look at peripherals, how deep they can go into the game, who the matchup is, and so on. And so given that so much of Wood's expectation is tied up in the expectation that he'll get the win, that's like exactly the reason I don't want to play him in big tournaments. And I just think Samardzija is a better cash game play.
Yeah, and you're still worried about the pitch count, right? So like it was starting to look like he was coming out of the pitch count woods. Like he, you know, back on June 23rd versus Colorado, he threw 98 pitches, and you're like, okay, this is looking pretty good. And then against San Diego, he throws 94, and you're still feeling great about it. And then July 5th, he throws 85 pitches, and then July 15th, he throws 80. And these were like games, the game where he threw 80 pitches, they were winning. I guess maybe they were just winning. He had gone six innings, he allowed three hits, one walk, four Ks, so he's just like doing fine. And then it's 80 pitches, and he's out of the game. And this is, that's just like not going to, if you look at guys like Scherzer and Sale, really actually just about any other pitcher on this list, if they're having a game like that where there are 80 pitches and they're at six innings and there's been three hits, my man's coming out for the seventh and probably the eighth, you know, like, mm-hmm. because unless he just absolutely blows up in the seventh and has like a 22 pitch inning or something like that. But your minimum going out for the seventh, like the fact that they pulled him after six and I'm, you know, without looking about where his spot was in the lineup, maybe they, you know, they feel like they have the game in hand. The fact that that can happen to him, and it's really, that is unlikely to happen to any other pitcher, is extremely, extremely risky. And it's actually probably the reason that his price is lower than those two guys above. It's really kind of probably the only reason. Because like from a number standpoint, he's been as good as the guys that we just mentioned. Like 10.5 strikeouts per nine, less than 2.5 walks, xFIP in the 2.5 range, which is just crazy low. So yeah, no, I think I'm with you. It's probably just, honestly, it might even just be too risky for me even in cash, just considering the other names on here, right? Like the fact that if you're going to get bounced after 80 pitches, then I just don't think that we need to go there. I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's the pitch count thing is just too crazy low. The other guys here that I think we can take a look at, now I'm probably trending more into the DraftKings starting pitcher two slot. Aaron Nola has been pretty, he's another guy that's been pretty damn good this year. He's coming cheap, though he gets a Milwaukee team that does have some bats, though they have some K issues as well. Do you think the K issues for Milwaukee outweigh, like, you're going to only pay 8,400, and at some point you're going to want to have some part of some, you know, more expensive bats, especially with a game in Coors. Do you think Nola's a viable starting pitcher too here?
I do think so. I think there are some other options that we can explore there, and I'll get to those in a second. But yeah, Nola's kind of, I think the weird thing you're choosing when you pick Nola is to be pretty well against the grain, because I do think on a bigger slate tonight, you actually do have the option of playing you know, just two pretty reasonable pitchers, again, because you just front load so much savings on Samardzija as your effective pitcher one that that maybe you can pay up elsewhere. But yeah, I think Nola's totally solid. I think he's generally underrated. The ERA is performing alongside the xFIP this season, so no concerns there. The K rate is excellent. Milwaukee, a very high upside matchup. I guess I'll caution people a little bit just because Milwaukee has been pretty good in terms of actually just being good at baseball against righties. Like, they're eighth in the majors in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching, so it's not an easy matchup by any stretch. But yeah, I'll take the K rate for Nola, the K rate of Milwaukee, and figure that on average I'm going to get a good start there.
He is a slight favorite, which helps him. That's pretty rare for a Phillies pitcher, so you take him when you can get him, when the Phillies are actually, like, I don't know, rated to win over the team below the team they're facing. No, I think I like him. He's just a good solid arm. 9 strikeouts per 9, a little bit less than 3 walks, with the xFIP right in that, like, kind of mid threes range. It's really just the price. And if you're looking to roster any kind of bats, then the 8,400 just feels like a pretty good spot. Who are some of the other guys you had on your list?
Well, I think actually there's a chance you can play Sale and Samardzija. Like, if you go by our system, that lineup is only 0.6 points off the top overall lineup. I also think there's a case to be made for Yu Darvish. I know that he's more expensive and the general profile is pretty similar to Nola. But what I like about him here is that basically the Brewers are just a more extreme or less extreme version of the Rays, who Darvish is facing. The Rays this season are fourth overall in terms of strikeout percentage. They are a little bit better against right-handed pitching, but they do get an excellent ballpark here going into Tampa Bay. I think that'll really help Darvish a lot. A lot of Darvish's struggles this season, such as they've been, I mean, he's still fine. He's got a 3.4 ERA. But come from the fact that he's not a very big ground ball pitcher, and pitching in Texas can be very punishing on people who don't generate a lot of ground balls. So going to Tampa Bay, the big spacious park there, that's been excellent for pitchers in general, but particularly for pitchers who make mistakes up in the zone the way Darvish can, I think that's just a kind of a good spot for him. And I think the K stuff is rounding into form for him. I think that there's potential, given that the fact that you can save a little bit from the bigger arms like Sale and Scherzer, that's where you might want to land for your pitcher two slot.
Yeah, you're just not, I mean, the days of Darvish being like an 11K per 9 guy, like he was kind of when he first came over, which is 2012 through 2014 about. I guess even last year he was up 11.8, only through 100 innings. I'm not sure that's coming back completely. It doesn't need to for him to still be a good pitcher. Like, he's not priced like a guy. Like, he'd be a lot more expensive if he was still 11 Ks per 9. He's priced in kind of the situation that he's in now. So I don't think you're going to get back to that elite strikeout number, but it's still kind of fine if you can just remove your brain space away from him having been that guy. Like, if he was just like Yu Darvish, new call up, I think that people would view him a lot differently. I think they tend to get stuck in the he's not as good as he used to be, and therefore he's not good. But that's just not correct, if that makes sense, what I'm saying. Like, you can get stuck comparing a guy to what he used to be and then think that he's just like some middle tier pitcher. It's just not the case. I think the case for him, like you said, great park, decent matchup, and you just remove the part where you're going to get, you know, I don't know, crazy double-digit strikeouts every time he pitches. I just don't think that's going to happen anymore. A couple other guys on the list today. I mean, these guys are underdogs, so I think you're kind of looking more in like a GBP sort of territory. A guy like Trevor Cahill, he's an underdog against Samardzija. He has a lot of the same things going for him here, like good ballpark. San Francisco Giants are not particularly good. They don't strike out a ton, but they just don't really have any power as well. Cahill's not pitched that much this year, so he's only pitched 57 innings because he had a DL stint. But you know, he's averaging right a little north of 5.5 innings per start. He's striking out more than 11 guys per 9. Do you think that's that 11? Good. Yeah, no. Do you think, and that's really not in line at all for anything he's done for the rest of his career. So he's got 1,200 innings of 6.5 per 9 strikeout rate, but this year has just really jumped it up into just kind of a totally new level. Do you see that kind of thing as sustainable for him? Like, do you see him as a nice GPP spot here? I mean, granted, he's the underdog, but this kind of goes with the remove the part where anyone can get a win thing and then just look at peripherals. Do you see him as sort of a possible just tournament upside value here?
I suppose. I mean, and the fact that he's gotten those strikeouts certainly says something. It's just really hard to believe that he's almost doubled his strikeout rate from his career. I find a lot of difficulty thinking that that's going to maintain anything like it's what it's been so far. The fact is that he's priced to those kind of Ks right now. And given some of the other struggles too, like his price isn't outrageous by any stretch. I think where you really get away with something with Cahill is the fact that no one's going to play the guy on a night with this many options. He's just going to be effectively not owned at all. But, you know, just looking at the PitchFX data, historical track record, I just have actual no reason to believe that he's anything like what he is currently. I guess the only thing that kind of works in his favor here is the fact that we've seen a lot of people go to San Diego and kind of feel freed up a little bit and start to generate a lot higher K numbers. That being said, I don't really buy it with Cahill. I just don't see him settling at anywhere near these numbers.
His pitch type profile is completely different than the rest of his career. So he's throwing his fastball way less. Like, he's thrown at 61% for his career. He's down to 46% this year. So that's a pretty steep drop off. The slider, he's thrown at times in his career. He's back to there. He's upped his curveball offering, almost more than double for what he's thrown for his entire career. So he just
for his career, but it's still the same thing he was doing basically when he was in Chicago, right? Like, I mean, he's tweaked the numbers just a little bit. And when he was pitching in Chicago, yeah, the K numbers increased a little bit, but they were at like 9, you know, like not
right. But that's 11, still moving in the direction of like, I'm starting to change my profile and I'm starting to just strike more guys. This is why I don't think
comfortable with it in general. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. There's definitely reason to believe that he's better than 6.6. I just have no reason to believe he's a double digit K guy.
Yeah, no, I'm buying that. I guess I would say, like, if he were to settle in like a strikeout per inning kind of type guy, that would make sense to me. Like, I think that we're getting close to the point where, you know, where the strikeouts kind of reappeared or appeared because they had never been there before. Where they appear is right around the time where he has made some of those changes. Any other pitchers that we've missed sort of in like the tournament upside category here? We've covered a lot of guys. There's still a couple more, like Arrieta, Carlos Martinez, Trevor Bauer, any of these guys?
Yeah, it's a lot of names. I mean, no, we can talk about those guys individually. I think we've kind of given the guys I feel strongest about out already. But I think when you hear the list of names that long, you realize that for cash games, you know, that it might not be a night where you have quite as much safety as usual. That also, by the way, would make me want to lean towards Samardzija, because it's not like, so if, say, this is just another thing. Maybe this is personal preference. I'm curious to hear what you feel about this, but if, say, the only two good pitchers tonight were Sale and Samardzija, you know, two guys we'd be happy to play in cash games, good matchups, great points per dollar multipliers, but Sale would be over. I think we'd probably agree that Sale would be overwhelming chalk in that scenario. Like, so many more people would side on the side of Sale. How would you feel about rolling Samardzija out if it were just Samardzija and Sale tonight versus this huge poo-poo platter of excellent pitching that we have before us?
I wouldn't feel great about it. Like, I wouldn't either. Like, well, here's the thing too. Like, right now, so if you run lineups, so in that Sale Samardzija, just that comparison, right? If you run the top Samardzija lineup for FanDuel, at least for us, has like 146 and change points projected. The Sale one is 144 and change. That would probably end up becoming closer as like just lineups come in and like the first sort of cheap guy hitting toward the top of the lineup. Like, if we were to get any of those guys, I do think like it would end up kind of just like getting closer at that point. And at that point, I would feel really not great about it, if that makes sense. The fact that they're pretty close now would mean that we would probably have to take a hard look and say, you know, where do we want this to land? I wouldn't feel great about it. Where I do feel great about it is that, or excuse me, I don't feel great about it. Where I feel better about it for tonight is that I think that, well, there's, okay. It's going to be hard to like make a bad choice with pitching right tonight. So like most, like you're going to just, you could throw a dart and get and make a lineup around the guy that you hit with like the seven names we just mentioned basically and should probably be okay. So I think that like the cash line will get skewed a little bit because like bad players won't be able to make the mistake. In that case, I'm just fine trusting the numbers and like not finagling anything to make it so that like we get on the side of the chalk, which sometimes is, you know, the case that you can make a strong case for doing something like that in cash games. Does that make sense? So I think that that's where I'm just like fine running the guy that the system says and just being fine with it, just simply because at some point you have to land on somebody and let's just use the numbers to just fully inform it this time.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where I'm landing too. And I think I'll just take it, realize the rest of the field's going to be spread out. I'm going to be spread out too. So I'm just going to follow the expectation and let the chips fall where they may.
I'm looking forward to seeing you spread out.
All right. Before we get to some stacks here, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about fantasyfactor.com. So Fantasy Factor is a longtime sponsor of DFSR's podcast. And what they offer is the ability for you to go in there and play contests without having to run your face into the meat grinder of all the sharks putting in hundreds of lineups in these big contests. So it's really perfect for people playing, you know, $5 to $25 a night, maybe up to $50 a night, which frankly is almost all of our users. So if that falls into your category, head on over to fantasyfactor.com, use promo code DFSR, and Doug is sending me mean messages that I said the wrong thing in the middle of the sponsor. A long stime? Did I say a long stime, Doug? Is that what happened?
Keep going with the sponsor, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a great job, by the way, listening. Remember, just let's think about the one time you tried to do a live read, and then we'll laugh at me for saying the wrong thing one time. So anyway, fantasyfactor.com. Check them out. Promo code DFSR. You get a 25% bonus. No drip, so you can put it into play right away and check it out. I think you'll enjoy their product.
I'm making myself laugh.
I guess. Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be such a memorable ad now. That's really the value. We planned this in advance that Doug would send me mean G-chats while I was trying to do my live read.
No, Fantasy Factor is great. I'm not trying to take anything away from Fantasy Factor. I'm just making sure you didn't take anything too much away from Fantasy Factor. There are we talked a lot about how many good pitchers there are going today. Thankfully for us, there are a lot of – or not a lot, but there are just enough bad pitchers going as well to just sort of kind of crystallize some of the ways you can stack here, or even just for cash games, target some bats. The first obvious game is the Rockies in Coors here tonight. They're expensive. If you go and play any of the really just the upper tier guys, the Sale Scherzers, even Alex Wood type guys, it's going to be real hard to fit those bats in. That being said, they have the highest implied run line of the day, up over six. Do you think they're worth, like, is that, do you think that's one of the reasons it's like kind of driving Samardzija also into lineups? Is that like there's a couple teams in pretty good spots here that also happen to be like a little bit expensive, i.e. the Rockies?
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. I mean, certainly, well, it's just tricky, right? Because with Samardzija, we're getting something that amounts to like 4.7 points per dollar on our pitching, which is completely absurd and normally only reserved. Like, just as a, for comparison, Jeff Hoffman is the next highest points per dollar guy at 4.35. And obviously, you're just not going to pitch him in Coors because you give up too much equity, you know, only getting 26 points of expectation out of your pitcher slot. But with Samardzija, it's a little different because you're still getting, you know, say 42 points out of your pitcher slot, but it gives you the ability to spread that extra $3,000 around and get these guys from Coors. And when you're able to get those Coors bats in the game with Trevor Williams, who has just struggled in general, and actually his line looks like a guy whose home park is Coors and not Three Rivers, you know, like he's just a very bad pitcher who struggles to strike people out, and people who struggle to strike people out do so even more when they get to Coors, giving up a ton of home runs over the course of his career. Just generally doesn't really do anything well, and that's just a recipe for disaster when you head over to Colorado. So I think it's a great spot to grab those guys. Vegas obviously really likes them as well, which is no surprise. And given that Samardzija is an ace-level pitcher at a mid-tier level price, it's just a great night to grab it.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I think it's going to be, if you're playing some of those cheaper pitchers, it's going to be pretty easy to get a couple of those Coors bats in there in a good spot. One team that I'm seeing, we're seeing the, by it's got to be their highest implied run total of the season. I don't think it's particularly close, is the Royals tonight. And this is a situation where the Royals are getting the great benefit of just being able to face James Shields. So James Shields was once a guy. Those days are long, long, long gone. This guy has been about as bad as you can expect a pitcher to be. Now, he's only pitched 42 innings this year. It kind of doesn't matter because he's following up a 180-inning season where he was almost as bad last year. His xFIP is 6.22. Over the last 2 years, it's probably like, I'm just kind of making this number up, I'm going to say it's around 5.5. He's awful. And you get the Royals coming in. Their implied runs are actually now creeping over six. I can't remember seeing them this high. I don't think they'll be this high the rest of the season, short of a visit to Coors against a bad pitcher. Like, I think even then it would kind of be close. Is Shields just this bad now? Like, is he the equivalent of just like taking your team to Coors when he comes to your stadium to pitch? is that like what we're looking at with James Shields?
I mean, basically, like, Shields is one of the rare pitchers who does everything poorly. Like, usually if you have a guy with, say, a 4.7 walks per nine, he's erratic enough and all over the place enough that he also strikes people out as well, or he faces enough batters that he can strike people out. Shields is not that man. He faces a way above average number of guys per inning thanks to his huge walk rate and inability to get guys out when they just approach the plate in general, and pairs that with no strikeouts at all. And on top of it all, he also doesn't really generate ground balls. So He puts a lot of guys on base, and then those guys tend to hit home runs. The 2.34 home runs per nine would look like an aberration, like some otherworldly figure that was a result of a four-inning sample, except when you compare it against last year's 181 innings where he allowed the full two home runs per nine. So basically, it's just like guaranteed home runs coming from somewhere whenever he pitches. And even though the Royals aren't exactly known for hitting home runs, I think it's still a great spot to grab them. And I think, frankly, too, they'll probably be under-owned because they're so unexciting as a team in general. But I do think the Shields multiplier is a much more, it's like the old movable object versus stoppable force. I think the movable object here in Shields is the more compelling story. And I think the Royals will beat them up pretty good.
Yeah, you're getting them pretty cheap on both sites, which is nice. Yeah. Like you said, they don't really have anyone to get too excited about. I mean, they hit some, maybe they move a lefty up into the lineup here to face their righty. That really hasn't been what they've been doing. So they've been mostly running Merrifield, Bonifacio, and then Lorenzo Cain at the top. They throw Hosmer and Moustakas kind of down the bottom of the lineup. Brandon Moss was a guy our system liked the other night in DraftKings, and kind of just, I would say, got lucky in the fact that he hit a home run out of the eighth spot. I think you could see him maybe creeping into lineups too, mostly just on DraftKings. He's so cheap, and this is such a good spot. So guys that normally we wouldn't spend much time thinking or at all about, you really do need to think about everyone that's facing Shields. It's just how bad he's been, and I think the Royals are in that spot today. And coming in like that mid to low 3,000s range on FanDuel is kind of like the perfect situation for a team that's supposed to put up this many runs. So I'm not gonna be all over the Royals tonight, but I think, well, you'll definitely see their ownership levels higher than they ever are on any other slate because no one ever plays these guys because they're just kind of pretty bad. So this is what happens when Shields comes to town. After those two teams, who else do you like from a stacking perspective?
Yeah, I think Houston is the next one that jumps to mind, and Houston isn't going to sneak up on anybody by now. They've been dominant against right-handed pitching all season long, posting a fairly absurd 865 OPS as a team, which is just utterly ridiculous. I mean, the issue with Houston that you'll get is that they're kind of a lineup that's spread out across, you know, the power that they generate, the way they hit is spread out across the whole lineup, so they don't necessarily lend themselves to the one-offs and two-offs that oftentimes power winning lineups in DFS. But still, I think if you you can grab some of the platoon guys, Reddick in particular, maybe you grab McCann. Both of those guys are very inexpensive on FanDuel at 2.9 and 2.7K respectively. And then the other guys like Altuve and Springer, they're no slouch when it comes to hitting righties either. So I think you can grab some of those guys. I think, again, you're kind of paying for them, but with Samardzija in play on both sites, I think you can afford it. And when it comes to Jimenez, he's not quite on the level of Shields, but the walks have been through the roof, as have been the home runs. And while he does strike guys out, he's not the same strikeout guy that he was in the past. That might scare you off trying to play these guys. So I think all in all, it just looks like a really good spot.
Yeah, they're so patient, and that's a disaster for a guy like Jimenez, right? Because if he can't work out of the zone, then he's dead, right? Like, so if
right. Jimenez's plan, in a nutshell, is be wild to where you just swing and miss because you see some juicy thing that's just kind of over your head, right?
Right, and with guys like Altuve, that just doesn't work, right? Like, you just can't, like, he'll just walk, right? Or the guy, frankly, he just never strikes out, so he's the kind of worst matchup that Jimenez could have. The pricing on them is a little bit expensive, but they, you know, they're sort of in that same six-ish implied run territory. Now, I really like them. I think the price is the only thing that keeps people away from there. I like the Reds against Jose Urena. Urena's been another guy that's been sort of other level bad, strikes out six guys per nine, walks over three, 5.5 xFIP. The Reds are playing in their home park, so Great American Ballpark really boosts that power up a lot. The run line isn't as high as I'd like to see it. I thought, just that low fives against a guy like Urena what's that?
I'm sorry that it wasn't as high as you were hoping.
So I'm just a little disappointed, but I'll get over it. But, you know, guys like Hamilton, Cozart, Votto, all those guys at the top of the lineup coming in the mid-3,000s range, even Votto under 4, you'll take that against, Votto's another guy, kind of sort of in that Altuve mold of when you get him against a guy that can't strike anybody out and walks guys, Votto is just not the guy you want to see step up into the batter's box because he's so patient, and you're just going to get, you'll probably get a walk, and the other things that are going to happen for you are probably worse. So now I like the Reds here. I wish the bottom of their lineup was a little better. That's kind of their only problem, is that after you get through, I guess, Jeanette, the Suarez, Schebler, Barnhart combo at the bottom isn't fantastic, which will keep their run line down. Actually, it's a National League game, which also doesn't help them. But now I do like the Reds against Urena. I do think they're another team that will not be heavily stacked tonight just because I think people will trend a little more toward the teams we just mentioned above, but they're in a good spot. Anyone else before we get out of here?
Well, how about on the other side of that same game, the Marlins going up against Homer Bailey? I mean, Bailey this season, this might actually be more popular than maybe it should be, just because Bailey's in the unpleasant situation of having an ERA that's double his xFIP. The 10 ERA this season is actually out of this world. And it's, you know, it's a result of some bad pitching. Don't get me wrong. 7 Ks per 9, 4.6 walks per 9 makes him a slightly worse version of Ubaldo Jimenez. And obviously getting the Marlins out of their unfavorable home park and into Cincinnati is a really good situation for them. But I'm just not sure. The thing I struggle with on the Marlins is, especially if we're talking stacks, I don't really know who I'm excited about on their team. Like, they don't really seem like the most stackable team in the world to me, but what's your thoughts there?
Yeah, they're fine. Bailey's a weird guy to figure out because his first two games back from the DL were as bad as it gets. He lets up, 14 runs in 4 2/3 innings, right? Then he's actually decent in Colorado, and then he's actually decent-ish again against Arizona, so you're like, oh, he's turning around, because the guy was something of a pitcher at one point, right? Like, he's not this bad.
Prospect.
Like,
yeah.
Right, exactly. And then he turns it back around against the Nationals and just lets up 8 runs in 4 innings. He's shown just enough flashes of being not horrendous that I'm not as excited about the Marlins here, like, just because there's some pedigree. He's shown that he can have a couple of games here where he's not the worst pitcher in the world.
Okay, but in 3 of those starts, 3 of his 5 starts a season, if you add up the fantasy points from those, it's negative 13 points across 3 starts.
I'm not making the case for him. I don't want to play him at all. I'm just saying that, like, compared to some of the other pitchers we mentioned here, his ERA, I think, makes him look way worse than guys like Shields or even Urena, like, who I do think are much worse pitchers. That's the only case. I'm not going to make the case for playing Bailey. I would never want to do that. I just think that's why the Marlins are not, I'm not as excited about the Marlins. Like, I'd much rather have the red side of the ball.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I could see a situation where I want to play, like, Justin Bauer as a one-off potentially. Maybe D. Gordon atop the lineup. Maybe it's just not a traditional stack. Maybe you're more picking and choosing some of the left-handed bats here and going from there, because unfortunately guys like Yelich, while Yelich is a big platoon guy as well, he just hasn't been generating the power that gets you really excited, and then all of a sudden it gets hard to find, like, that 3 sequential batters that you'd actually really like for your big time stacking purposes. So Stanton I think he can crush Bailey, don't get me wrong, but not an ideal spot the way it might be if Bailey were left-handed. So yeah, maybe it's just not a big tournament play like I was thinking originally.
Getting Stanton, I do like getting Stanton against pitchers that don't have huge strikeout profiles, because that's where he does the most damage. He is getting a little expensive. One more team I wanted to throw out before we get out of here. The Mets face Paul Blackburn. Blackburn, so far, he's only got 19 innings under his belt. He's striking out 3.66 batters per 9. So I want to believe that, like, there's just a lot of other AAA guys out there that can just put up that kind of strikeout rate. Like, I don't know much about, like, what the minor leagues are looking like, and I specifically don't know what the A's minor league looks like. It feels like there should be a guy that could strike out more guys than this, like, somewhere else along the path, but maybe they know more than I do. His ERA, 1.83, do not be fooled. The xFIP is up and over 5. He's bad. He's gotten extremely lucky.
I think the xFIP maybe doesn't even tell the whole tale. I think his true talent is, like, a mid-5 ERA pitcher. This is totally insane.
Yeah, he blows. So getting the Mets here, like, guys like Conforto, Jay Bruce, all the lefty bats, really. Conforto, Bruce, and Duda. And even Cabrera hits, he's a switch hitter, so it's not going to kind of crush you there. Even Cespedes at, like, 3,600. Mets are...
How about the Grandy man, Doc? How about the Grandy man?
I'm not sure he's going to play. Like, he hasn't been playing, like, consistently, so that's the only reason
played against the Brady the other day, but yeah.
Yeah, if he were to hit leadoff, then for sure. So, like, because he's still coming very cheap. So I think the Mets in general, keep an eye on what their batting lineup is, because in general, just in a good spot against a pitcher who can't strike anybody out. All right, really interesting day here in baseball. A lot of good pitchers, some bad ones too, which makes for sort of like this perfect mashup of lineup building. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Still time to go over and grab a free 3-day trial with the projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We will be around most of the day here in chat, or I'll be around for some of the day, James, too, answering questions if you have any. We'll be around tonight setting lineups. Go over to the site, ask the chatters in the chat room how things are going. They will give their honest opinion. Think you'll sign up and be with us for the long haul. Buddy, enjoy your Friday. Talk to you again next week. Look, we all sort of struggle with words at times. Talk to you again next week.
You especially. Bye-bye.